For many who lived through the Cultural Revolution of the 1960s, it was magical and surreal. Writer Mark Rozo wanted to explore one intersection of the cultural shifts, how new waves in contemporary art, pop music, and Hollywood films evolved. Many people suggested the person he should speak with was actress and writer Brooke Hayward. Her 8-year marriage to actor and photographer Dennis Hopper during the 1960s was a creative epicenter for some of the defining art, music, and films of the decade. Rozo met with Hayward frequently at a little tavern around the corner from her house in Connecticut. They talked about her past over BLTs and iced teas.
And it took a while to get her to come around to the idea that what we were talking about trying to do was a story that was really a cultural history and was a celebration of her role in all this in 60s LA, and that these crazy old stories of throwing a huge party for Warhol, going to the Sunset Strip to see the birds, Jane Fonda's crazy 4th of July party in Malibu, that these were events that actually had resonance still and illuminate an era that we're all still making sense of.
In his book, Everybody Thought We Were Crazy, Rozo collected these memories of the unlikely relationship between Hayward and Hopper, and he traced the way they redefined what we think of as art, both then and now.
Dennis and Brooke meet each other in the spring of 1961 when they were both cast in this bomb of a Broadway production called Mandingo. And Brooke immediately loathes Dennis Hopper on sight, thinks he's too cool for school. But of course, this being a classic case of opposites attract, Brooke falls in love with him. I couldn't sleep at all that night. Very quickly, an electric romance blossoms between them. They run off to LA together, and off they go. They were different. Their tastes were unusual. There were only two people who worked in Hollywood who would regularly show up for Ferris Gallery openings and for these Monday night art walks that they had on La Cienega Boulevard, and they were Brooke Hayward and Dennis Hopper. Brooke and Dennis bought these early works by Warhol and Ruscha and Lichtenstein, and they put them into this house, 1712 North Crescent Heights, up in the Hollywood Hills, where you literally had no idea who was going to show up night to night. It could be Jane and Peter Fonda, Jack Nicholson, maybe even Joan Didion, or Tina Turner, or Miles Davis. These people show up, they see the art in this very intimate setting, and so in this very intimate way, this art begins to be exposed to more and more people. If Dennis was kind of taking the lead on the art as much as Brooke had to sign off on every piece they bought, and often these pieces were bought care of her checkbook, Brooke had this larger vision of what this place could be. And she was the one rolling up her sleeves, throwing on the paint, putting on the tiles, and really turning it into something memorable. There were so many people sticking their necks out to buy this kind of art that was lampooned by newspaper art critics. It's incredible to think that they were able to offer early and decisive support to so many artists whose work for decades now has lined the walls of museums and galleries all over the world and the pages of art history textbooks. And then on the Sunset Strip, you get that youthquake scene rolling with the birds. Hey, Mr. Dan, the spring of 1965 took the stage at Ciro's, a moribund nightclub, and suddenly it was dance, dance, dance in Hollywood. Everybody came to those shows, from the Ferris artists to the young actors like Dennis and Brooke and their friends such as Peter Fonda. And night after night, Ciro's would be a gathering place for this odd jumble of people living in Los Angeles who might not otherwise have encountered each other. I'm ready to go anywhere. I'm ready for today. Dennis was something of a holy fool for art, and being that was not always easy in Hollywood in the 60s, when that industry was still very much about Dr. Doolittle and The Sound of Music. And Dennis had dreamed for a long time of bringing art into filmmaking and was struggling to figure out how he could make that happen, being a guy who didn't always have the best reputation for being the most reliable character. In 65, 66, he was developing a project called The Last Movie, and Brooke was very excited about this. She thought the treatment and the script were brilliant, but it hit a wall. It didn't get made. And Brooke said, you know, if he had been able to get that movie made, then he wouldn't have fallen into the abyss. His career frustrations mounted. He began to become more self-destructive, more violent in the relationship. But in the meantime, this other idea comes out of the blue from his good friend and would-be collaborator, Peter Fonda. When Easy Rider comes along, he feels like he can take the genre movie and feed into it all these things he's learned as a patron and supporter of pop art and a fan of rock and roll, and bring this new point of view to filmmaking and make a movie about the moment.
They're not scared of you.
They're scared of what you represent to them.
Amen. All we represent to them, man, is somebody who needs a haircut.
Oh, no. What you represent to them is freedom.
What the hell's wrong with freedom, man? That's what it's all about.
The movie propelled the new Hollywood into the 70s, the decade of Scorsese and Coppola and Altman and Spielberg. Getting to that point was not easy. His relationship with Peter Fonda frayed. The production was chaotic. And then the biggest upshot for him personally was that his relationship and marriage with Brooke Hayward blew up. Brooke looked back on that time with Dennis in the 60s as being the most wonderful and awful years of her life. When she did see the screening of Easy Rider, she thought it was the best acting that Dennis had ever done in his life. And she said she knew it would be good and she knew he would be good, because even though their relationship was over, she knew how talented he was and she was glad for him.
Mark Rozzo on Dennis Hopper, Brooke Hayward, and 1960s LA in his new book, Everybody Thought We Were Crazy. One time to-